You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Jolanta Sokowska. Jolanta, thanks so much for being with me today.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Because we planned this rendezvous for a long time, for 3 months or 4 months or something like
yes,
that. So I'm happy to be with you.
So am I. I'm really looking forward to this. So to begin with, I know we're going to talk about a few topics today, but let's talk a little bit about what you're working on right now. What's happening in your studio at the moment?
I'm a glass artist, but mostly I'm not blowing glass. I'm working on a so-called cold glass, which is glass formed in a kiln in 1500 degrees. So, I mean, I cut the glass, prepare, put on a shelf composition, and fire it to 1500 degrees. And then after 12 hours, I open the door of the kiln, and then it's a big surprise.
So the glass becomes fused together. Is that what happens? The glass actually begins melting in there, and it's a surprise because you don't know exactly how and what rate it will melt at? Is that what happens?
Exactly. I plan, I imagine, and I can predict to 85%, but then I don't know exactly the effect of my work. But yeah, exactly, I'm working with the fused glass, mostly. Mm.
And you've made huge pieces this way, right? You've worked both small and also done some very large commissions. Is that correct?
Yeah, my compositions, actually, they look like more like painting, but executed in glass. That's what I want them to look like. Painting, a relief, kind of sculptural pieces, but they are two-dimensional. Still two-dimensional, but because I like to incorporate glass with metal, stone, wood, paper mache, fabric, so as a compositions, I can't even tell that it's glass at the end, because they look like more collage, where glass is prima ballerina. The glass is my main interest, but I like to incorporate glass.
When you make pieces that are larger than your kiln, do you attach them somehow together? Because some pieces are larger than your kiln, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. You have experience. I see. They are larger. If they are larger than my kiln, then I multiply the composition. I use few pieces together and expand on with a sheet of glass, 3x5, 2x2, etc. So then I make it's called a composition that involving fused glass and in the industrial glass.
So this is of course very different than stained glass, where you're cutting pieces and using lead, but this is also a process that could be used for windows or no?
Yeah, of course. We've done windows, doors, pieces, big pieces for offices, for any interior, for churches, that there are big, like 3x4, 5x5, but that's what you suggested. I use fused glass elements from my kiln and then join them with the industrial glass, which I sandblast first, and then the pieces go to sandblasting area.
That's exciting. And where does this work go? So these are their private commissions as well as public commissions.
We've done dentists. Spaces, we've done people, private spaces, all kind of institutions, all kind of businesses. Yeah, they decorate, they enhance the space.
By enhancing the space, you're talking about often as dividers so light can go through them, because these can also be hung on the wall like paintings.
How do you know it? Yeah, exactly. The pieces are either dividing, they are functional, or just to simply enjoy them in a space.
Right.
So they can be against the wall, or they is suspended from the ceiling and exist in a space, like not exactly against the wall.
Hmm.
All kind of possibilities, but mainly is to bring art, glass art, into space and enhance the space with art, with aesthetic compositions.
Hmm.
But the size is actually unlimited.
That's great. And let's talk a little bit about the conversation we were going to have that we discussed a few months ago when we began. We were talking about your art, but we were also talking about the way artists manage themselves in the world, right? That was the conversation we were discussing?
Exactly, exactly, yes. Because I'm artist for 35 years, and I finished my studies in Poland at the Academy of Fine Arts. Then I moved to Germany, and from Germany we moved to Canada. Since 1990, I'm working in Canada and being independent artist, being free, 24 hours. So I know how looks artist life, each artist life, if they are independent. It's very difficult. Doesn't mean they can, that it's not possible to live off what that you create. Doesn't mean, because I'm working independently and I have studio, and then I contact actually I'm going to bigger shows where I present my studio and I find the client or not.
I see. So so go on. So that's how you've been able to find clients, through bigger shows, you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. I'm cruising around the cities, the world, and I'm trying to introduce what I create, and I find the clients this way. I like the shows, international shows. I was in Barcelona 2 years ago, international show in Barcelona, in Casa Milano, Casa.
And these international Patio. Shows, these are kind of design shows, or
artists, or either artistic shows where each artist, independent artist showing, or commercial shows. I mean, created for artists, but for selling projects.
Right, and
business,
so, this is how you've continued to support yourself from Canada. You continue to go around and find more places all the time. Is that a big part of your life? Is just traveling to meet these clients?
Yeah. It's half of my life is traveling here and there, visiting other many shows, and proposing and showing and finding the client. But also, I recently find out that it's good for artists to organize local shows by themselves. Let's say 60 artists, 70 artists get together and open the exhibition for 1 month or 2 weeks, depends on them. And they ask art critic to join them. Then they have wonderful vernissage, of course.
But say that again. They ask an art critic to join them, which means what exactly? The writer is part of the group?
Yeah. The writers from the community, local writers, poets who can introduce the show at the beginning for the time of vernissage. Let's say someone who has oral skills and make the speech wonderful. So this way, we ask writers, poets, or art critics. Doesn't really matter. Person who can feel the exhibition, who can use his oral skills to introduce to people, to public, to visitors. Yeah. So we like to hire art historians, either or critics of art, anyone who is intelligent and can present well this exhibition.
So and then all together, so the artists hire these people because you all, it's kind of a cooperative. Everybody puts in some money to hire some of these people?
Exactly. Yeah, we work in a community. So this way we work previously in Winnipeg. And so our show had title Art Confrontations. This year, Art Confrontations, next year, et cetera, et cetera. So Art Confrontation number. And then we had 2 weeks, 3 weeks shows from local artists presented from all possible disciplines of art, like painting, sculpture, digital art, photography, everything, and glass, ceramics, fashion designers as well. What else? And other.
And who? Yeah. And so who helps put it all together? All the artists get together. I mean, you said 50 or 60 artists, but does everybody be a part of organizing the show, or are you taking a primary role, or other people?
Yeah, mainly three people, like myself, my husband, and the person who could help us from the Artist Society. So infusion of this idea was kind of my responsibility, but all artists contributed with few hours because of advertising hours, all this work to organize the show. So every year in October we mounted a show which was better and better every year, but
and where was the show mounted? Like, what, did you rent a space or what space?
Yeah,
was it in?
We collect from each artist $50, $60, or $70, depends on the year, and we rent a local space. Which always we try to get the building with the historical image, like not any building in the city, like interesting. Very interesting space.
Right, something a space where people would also want to come to see the space as well.
Exactly. Hmm. Exactly. We had, for example, in a historic museum of costume historical museum, space, a warehouse, a big, huge space, look very pretty. And yeah. So mainly the building was very important, the look of the building, and the fact that all artists possible from all disciplines were gathered together and showed their work, as I mentioned, even fashion, even people who create clothing.
Hmm.
But
and it's a finance. Sounds like it's a yeah. Go on. It sounds like it is a financial success for many people there that they're selling work.
The artists were selling work for 100%. They're selling work for 100%. Nothing was taken off from artists. But when artists, the idea, the cute idea was there that when artists sold his work, then he could consider to buy the other artist's work for 20% what he sold. Like, let's say I sold my work for 3,000, then I could consider 20% from it in order to buy another artist's work. And if another artist sold the work for 2,000 or 20,000, he could consider up to 20%, not more, from his money to approach another artist, and during the show could his work, another artist's work. That's why it was very, very important for artists, because basically we were selling for 100% for us, but the successful artists who sold the work could buy. They had money right away to buy other artists' work. But
I like that.
More.
So it encourages collecting as well among artists.
Yeah. So it was very important move, action, because artists could give during this evening 20 awards for this 20% of saying the work of his work. Kurt founded 20 awards of $200 each one, etc., etc. So ideas how to manage this 20% if you sell is was endless. But I liked that artists could earn 100% from the exhibition if he was lucky, and then could consider this 20% from his money to go and ask other artists to sell the other artist's work for this amount, etc. Is it clear?
It is clear. Yeah, that's the way that way everyone can begin, you know, purchasing each other's works, because they get that amount off when they sell something.
Plus, I find also important that whoever bought the artwork, he got the name collector or contributor to art, local contributor to art contributor, and the person got a gold plaque with a name that with this exhibition he bought his collector of work of such a certain artist, and the buyer or collector took the plaque home along with the piece.
Very nice. I love that. So it begins teaching them how to collect and also to be proud of being a collector.
Exactly. It was very subtle, but people who are not involved with the creativity directly, people from all different areas, for them, giving awards or appreciate them publicly is very extremely important. So that's why when they are going home with the piece that they bought, plus the plaque, gold, with their name and the name of the event, they were happy. They were this distinguished. And I think it's very, very important to award people who are collectors, who this way.
I think so, too. I love that.
Plaque. Yeah.
I love that. I'm glad we talked about that. And what is the next? I'm sorry, go on, but you're going to do this again every year is what I was going to ask. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was every year, and it was more and more popular because the first aspect that artists from all disciplines could show together, the other aspect, all artists from the community, professional artists, could get together on one exhibition which involves all disciplines, and they had opportunity to know each other.
That's true. I love that.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
So plus, if it's 100 artists gathered, then if everyone brings 10 people, 10 guests, or 20 guests, it's crowded. Yeah, exhibition is crowded.
Right.
I think we were successful because it was appreciation of artists from the fact that all were asked, all from all the disciplines were asked to join. Of course, professional artists who had degree in art education, in art, etc. So I think there was good and always good the spirit there. And what else? What else about our artists' lives? Yeah, I think the idea to improve local art scene is to organize many exhibitions that represent not only one discipline, not only two disciplines, not three, 60 disciplines of art. You know, all together. Then it's really good spirit at this kind of exhibition. So all together, creators, small creators, like this this project, having creators together.
It's wonderful. I'm so glad we talked about this. So, Yolanta, before we go, I want to ask you one more question, which is a little off topic, but just curious what you're reading at the moment.
Money, the book Money, Money Aspect. What is money about? But I'm reading many books, actually. Mm-hmm. How to be better, how to go through life with smile and with lots of ideas to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And not seeing if I see obstacles, then I know how to go through them. But right now I'm reading a Scientology book about money.
Well, very good.
Which is
it helpful? Yeah, so, you can tell me the book about money is what?
It's exactly on time because everybody is kind of like concentrating on money nowadays. Not many people, many. But
right.
The question is not abuse money, it's to treat them well. To spend them well, to treat them well, to see opportunity in them instead of abusing them. That's conclusion, only conclusion.
I like
and,
that.
Yeah, and other books about efficiency in life. Like, for example, if I have passive time, and I don't want to prolong the passive time, then how to be efficient in such a moment that you don't feel energy, creative energy, what to do to be efficient, to be energetic again. So that's what I'm reading.
I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure, Yolanta.
It's my pleasure, and thank you very much, and I'm really happy.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.